Well, it's 5:30. Let's go ahead and start. We have a quorum. We have Robert, we have Karen and myself. That gives us a quorum. I called this special meeting because I wanted to talk about the increase in COVID positivity rate that's happened even since Friday, that it went from a one-week positivity rate of something like 15% to today, I think it was showing at 26.07, I think. So I wanted to have a discussion about whether we should look at our opening of the library. Or what I want to say, a different service for the library. So, Robert, I'll start with you. Do you want to have any comments or discussion?
Well, my first inclination before, and I spoke with Lori briefly about this the other day when I stopped by, was that I had listened to some of the people being concerned about having a grace period in terms of scheduling and what have you, so that we could go ahead and get, kids into the libraries after the break, and you know, their parents get used to the way things were sort of unfolding before we went straight to curb service. And unfortunately today, when I saw the code red alert, and now we have verified Omicron in the county, I think that's a game changer. I'm back in my notes to see where we were at when we closed the libraries before. And I even went so far as to call Jim Duvall to make sure that my recollection and my notes aligned with his. And we had closed at a level that was closer to 8 or 9%. And then, of course, you know, we had a number of things going on in addition to that, which included, you know, the governor's emergency notice and those kinds of things, which, you know, gave it a sort of a different feel and a different spin than it is today. I don't think people are as worried about it today. But for us to be working, I also read one set of notes that the board didn't start meeting in person and, on anything until we were at 5%. And we're five times that. And I don't see this getting smaller. Not if any of, the stuff that I'm reading is correct. I am worried, very, very, very worried about staff members, people who may have, compromised immune systems, et cetera. And at this point, it seems to me that this sort of increased, this just gigantic jump in the numbers is something that we need to take very, very seriously.
Thanks, Robert. Karen, do you want to have some input?
Sure. Let me see how my audio is working.
It's good.
Usually Alan is caller one. So I don't guess he's not there.
Not caller one. Is that Alan?
That's all right. Usually it's Alan.
We're not identifying.
But as he's
Alan.
Not responding, so.
We just
anyway,
have.
I'm wondering. Okay, I'll go. My audio's got such a delay, it makes it really sort of retarded, but we'll give it a go. I'm wondering how many people have expressed their concern about the positivity rate, I mean employees, who, you know, are there dealing with the public. To what extent has that been a concern with the employees? And, you know, put that to Lori and Kathy and Ruben.
I can speak for Elizabeth. This is Lori. I haven't had anybody be concerned about working here. One of our substitutes hasn't joined us since the levels have been high. She's just being cautious. Everybody else is fairly comfortable, though it's helped a great deal that we have the supply of tests to hand out. And I brought in my own group of N95 masks today, so I know that everybody will have a mask. And on Thursday, we'll have a supply of 20 more. So I think people are comfortable. I haven't heard anybody who is really uncomfortable. So it's such a weird time. The numbers are so weird, but the hospitalizations are not going up at all, I don't think. So, you know, I think it's just weird. So we don't any of us want to get sick.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's right. Not the same disease as that we were talking about even a year ago. So it's really tough. I went back and looked at the state. You know, I was trying to remind myself what those color levels were. Found the page with the color levels, and there, right in bold at the top, is as of April 21, these no longer apply. And I don't know what does apply. It's weird. We're just kind of hung out, you know, waving in the wind.
Right. Right.
As far as Simla goes, no one has.
Well,
yeah, and with Kyle and Albert,
I missed that.
It's pretty comfortable. We've been taking the precautions and with cleaning and everything, so they feel pretty comfortable. And our community has been really respectful. They'll ask our comfort levels, and we've had a lot of goodwill with the patrons as we've gone back to more normal service.
I just want to throw something in here. I appreciate the sanitation. You know, the work that you've done to keep things as clean as possible. This is airborne as well. So I just don't want to lose sight of the fact that this is airborne. And so I think that needs to be taken into consideration. And what kind of ventilation do you have in your spaces?
Right. In terms of ventilation, Kyle, is since it's the old building, we really only have the air conditioner that blows in and then kind of goes out the front door, essentially. So we do have some, and I can look at seeing, I don't think we have to have any of the hose part where we'd have to worry about freezing. So I think we could do something like that. But in terms of masks as well, I mean, I also ordered some that'll be arriving tomorrow and another batch of them, I think Thursday, I believe it said. So, and staff's been good about masks. So in terms of the airborne aspect, we've also been taking precautions that way. So I think it's not too bad. The biggest thing that I've been hearing and reading is that Omicron is just a weaker variant. While it spreads easier, it's just not as impactful. So like Lori said, I mean, it really is not quite the same as what we were dealing with last year. So the positivity rates are going to be higher, but it's going to be a little bit weaker. And obviously, people who have compromised systems, we don't want to put them at risk.
You can also, I just want to add to that, that it may be weaker in terms of infection, but there's still long COVID that people who get it, whether you're vaccinated or not, are at risk for long COVID. So that is also a concern.
I'd like to add to that as well. While the hospitalization is not on the rise in Colorado here, at least in the metropolitan area, there are some counties that are experiencing some difficulties because they have tourism, et cetera. Numbers going up, small communities that normally are for tourists that don't have a lot of hospital beds, et cetera, they're in bad shape. The problem with our community is that if memory serves me well, I think we're at 42%, where people have got vaccinated, or at least one shot. Omicron is just as dangerous, as I understand it, for the unvaccinated. So there is a possibility, and especially children, because there are a lot of young children, of course, that have not been okayed for vaccinations. So I think we need to think, sort of broader spectrum. And this has come as a surprise to us, and we need to look at this carefully. I do not, at this point, relish the idea of closing, but I can tell you if the numbers continue jumping the way they are, despite the severity not being quite what it was with Delta and the initial variants, this is getting out of control, and we don't know what the next variant is going to be.
Karen, did you want to go on more? Did you have more?
Sure. Yeah, I missed what Kathy at Simla said.
I said that we don't have any concerns from staff, and our ventilation is just standard building and ventilation. There's nothing special there.
Okay, thanks. I didn't catch that, so thank you. Well, I mean, I've been listening to programs repeatedly today talking about the Omicron variant and its differences. And yes, if you're unvaccinated, you're a lot more vulnerable. If you are vaccinated, and even with the booster, it's better. And children are now, well, not young children, but 12 and up are getting boosters. But I'm reluctant to close everything down. I mean, I really am. This is a big conundrum. And just being in the library the other day, you just see how people, it's just vital to the community. I don't know if we did a mask mandate, if that would be appropriate, because some people are so adamant about not wearing them. But if you've got good KN95 or N95 masks that everyone's willing to wear, that's a good element of protection. So if the staff is feeling not that threatened and more open to carrying on, I would be agreeable to that.
I guess my biggest concern is the children, right? Those children who may or may not be protected, and then gathering in the library, they could spread it to each other, or whether they're protected or not, it still spreads. And right, for the children that aren't vaccinated, they're at larger risk or at greater risk. So that's where my concern lies, is with the children and with those individuals who may have compromised immune systems and our employees.
And Patty, what we see in our library is the kids come in cliques, and they sit together in their grade levels to socialize after school. And so they're with each other all day already. So that's what we observe as far as the children that are in our library.
In Elizabeth, we've got a different situation. We've got two story times a week that have been increasingly popular since the summer. They've kind of leveled off this last week, but before that, we had as many kids as we've ever had in story times. And they tend to be younger. They're not kids that are in school. And so, they're not being asked to wear a mask anywhere. And some of them, I think, are too young to be vaccinated. So I think I can hear my children's advocates screaming, but I think it would be a good idea to suspend story times because there are so many people sitting so close. I'm just sorry, but our county is just not good at getting vaccinated or wearing masks. I mean, it kind of breaks my heart. If everybody was pulling together, it would be easier. But I would say the greatest congregation of people that we have are on Tuesday mornings and Wednesday afternoons, or Thursday afternoons, Wednesday mornings and Thursday afternoons. Anyway, when we have story time, and the kids range in age from being infants in mom's arms to being toddlers. And they, social distancing is not in their language. It just isn't. The kids, that just isn't, they just don't do that. So I would feel better if we discontinued story times until a time certain of a positivity level. I think that would help us because we'll be able to tell people every day, well, the level is, according to our public health officer, the level today is, and we can't do it until it gets to this. The hard thing for me is that we've been not using our meeting room, which has been a real problem for us. And we set the level at which we'd reopen the meeting room at 5%. I went back, I sent to Patty and to Ruben and Kathy. I've been saving Dwayne's reports for months, and I haven't quite known why until today. And today I went and made a spreadsheet.
Can we do this?
Yeah, just maybe don't have us allowed.
Yeah. And we haven't been at 9% more than 1 or 2 days, the 1st of October. And so 5% is, I think, unreasonable. But 25% is also unreasonable in the other direction. So it's just hard. We don't have the guidance, the hard and fast guidance that we had a year and a half ago. We just don't.
So if we continue gathering in the library, so no story time, no caregiver gatherings.
Yep.
I think about that and similar. And just have leave the library open, mask required, at least for a week, and see what that looks like.
I think that'd be a good idea. We have two groups that I'm aware of, our knitting ladies, who come in faithfully and sit around the table in the main library. And I think they would understand if we got hold of them and said, until this goes down a little bit, we don't want people so close to each other. We've got another fiber group that I think that does that on Fridays. Saturdays.
Keep it open.
I would rather do that than to go back to curbside. It's heartbreaking to me when kids can't come in at all. It's really tough. I'm also thinking about changing the signage on the front door, where instead of saying masks recommended, it would be mass strongly suggested, please, you know, be a little more forceful about it. And then also, I'm inclined every day to let people know what the infection rate is, because I don't know, maybe they don't care, but we care.
So I care, and let me, I mean, and what really concerned me yesterday from the public health, Elbert County Public Health, he had stay at home severe.
Yep.
Okay, I can't make people stay at home. I can't say anything about people being vaccinated or not vaccinated, but I think as a board, we have a responsibility to protect our staff and to do what we can to slow the spread in community, especially with those who are unvaccinated, who are the most affected.
Yep.
And so I am leaning strongly, and I'm open to hear, but I'm leaning strongly to no gathering, mask required, not optional, mask required, N95 mask required for staff, because I want you to be protected. And then we gather back in a week and see where the numbers are and see if we have to go down to curbside.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But Robert, what do you think?
Well, I don't agree, but I'm also a team player. And so I'm listening as carefully as I can. I don't know how much higher than 25% we need to go. Anywhere you look at it.
Wow.
2 weeks, yeah.
Wow.
That is not good. I hear the terms that I understand oh so well, being a former teacher. I don't like disappointing children. I despise the fact that I have to say no to adults who want their kids to learn. But I don't know what to tell a parent if somebody gets sick and dies. And they are getting sick younger and younger and younger. And I've lost a number of good friends.
25% is way higher than when they had the
drinking time. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do not.
Caller number one.
Caller one, we can hear you in the background. Please be quiet.
Please mute your phone.
Thank you. If it were left to me, I would be asking that we go to curbside service at a minimum with the staff wearing masks until such time as it dropped to a number that is more realistic. And I don't know where that is, but I would think we've managed pretty well at 15 or 16%. I'm not talking about going back down to 5%. I think we've done better than that. But to me, public safety is, that's one of the reasons that you take a job like this, is that you're willing to make those kinds of decisions. And it isn't, it isn't anything to do with belief in vaccines or not. It isn't anything political. It is only the charge that is given to the Board of Trustees that says, I can't control schools, I can't do anything, just like Patty said. But I'm not suggesting closing at all. I'm saying curbside service is reasonable till we can get these numbers down to, like I say, 15-16%. We've been living with that, and that seems more acceptable. I don't want it to jump to 35 and us going, well, we should have done it last week. But if that's what everybody wants to do, like I say, I'm a team player, and I'm willing to go along with this. I'm not I mean, when I talked to Lori earlier in the week, I mean, I really was for giving us a grace period and giving us a week to sort of get used to the idea that we might have to go to curb service, et cetera. But the numbers have just gone insane. So that's all I've got to say on it. I am sick to death worried about the health of the employees and the patrons.
Karen, thank you, Robert. Karen, do you have anything to add to that? Your thoughts are we're stuck somewhere in the middle. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck in the middle. I certainly appreciate and understand Robert's sentiments totally. I mean, when this all first hit and we had the lockdown and then we finally got to curbside, it was felt like a big relief. I don't know. It's very confounding. And I know there's multiple views on this, but I agree with Robert. It's our job to make the library district as safe as possible. I would definitely go for some of Lori's suggestions and, you know, take it week by week.
But in 4 days,
that's it.
I know in 4 days, from Friday to Sunday, the amount went up quite a bit. It was substantial. And it's only going to continue with Omicron being so contagious. And then I think the other thing we have to talk about is what's the threshold of we're going to be at if our employees get sick and we got to close the library down because employees are sick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of go back. I mean, I'm thinking about employees being sick and I don't want to risk closing the library altogether because we don't have anybody who can work because people have gotten sick, right? We have to think about that.
That's true.
So, Karen, could you live with?
Yes.
I haven't even said it yet, Karen.
Yes, I would.
Can you live with curbside, mask required for employees, and we watch it on a, you know, we watch how it goes. And if it goes back down, right, then we can open back up. But here's the other thing that I'm thinking about. You can say all, you can say no gathering, right? For example, Laura, you can say no story time. But at Kathy's library, she's got teenagers who are coming in groups. What is she going to do? Is she going to tell them they have to leave?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a difficult situation. Do you want to be telling patrons they have to wear a mask? It's going to be required? That's going to be a difficult situation, right? So, we need to provide services, and I understand that, but I think also as a board, we have a responsibility to public health and the health of our employees. And if you get sick, if we get, you know, employees sick and you can't come to work, you shouldn't be coming to work if you're COVID positive, right? But if you can't come to work, like, we're going to have to shut down the library, and I don't want to do that either. So do you think a good compromise would be that we could go to mask required for employees? And thank you for ordering, Lori and Ruben and Kathy, ordering those N95 for the employees, because that will protect you. And can we go to curbside service and watch the numbers? If they go back down, we can open back up. But I'm kind of like Robert. I don't want to get to the end of the week and see that we've gone from 25% to 30% or 40%. We just don't know.
Yeah.
And now that Omicron is in the county,
I'm
more concerned. Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I would be agreeable to that. When would we start that?
Would we start that immediately? Would we give it 2 days? to give the library managers time to kind of communicate. We're shifting 2 or 3 days. Robert, do you have thoughts? Robert, you're on mute. Do you have thoughts?
Got it now. Sorry. I would be amenable to some compromise between just going straight to, you know, curbside. If it takes a few days, it takes a few days. It's like I say, and I want to be wrong in this, guys. I want to be wrong. I want the numbers to have been an anomaly, and that we turn around and it turns into 15% next time we do a good survey. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do want us to be open and vibrant and working with people. That is it, but I don't want anybody to get sick. So I will go with whatever, you know, I mean, like I say, my first choice would be just go straight to curbside, but I understand the need to have a little grace period in there.
Okay, so can we take a vote, board? Can we go to, can we say we go to mask required and we transition in 3 days and go to curbside and we watch the stats daily? If we see we're going back down, then we can regroup and we can readjust. If we see we continue to go up, then we need to talk about, do a continual contact to see how the staff is doing and making sure that the staff is healthy, that we're not having staff get sick. If we should, what is the threshold, or what do we, what should we consider in terms if we have staff getting sick? I mean, we have a small staff, so I'm in all the places. So I'm, do we want to just watch that and see what happens?
Well, I think we should separate the two issues.
Okay.
I think we need to make a decision on where we're at tomorrow morning.
I'm kind of agreeing. Well, I am agreeing with Robert. I think if we're going to alter our service and go to curbside, I think we need to do it quickly, because the point is that we're seeing very concerning figures and we are being responsive. And if we're not, if we're moving in slow motion, I think we're not being responsive. I think giving us a day so that we can change the website and put signs on the door and those sorts of things and get the word out would be great. But if we're going to curbside, I'd want to start it no later than Wednesday.
Okay.
Now, in terms of staff being sick, I know that we have some staff that are out with normal winter illness. And so already we're kind of short, and we're short here because we've lost Wendy and we will soon be losing Chelsea. So Patty, you're right. If one of us gets sick here, we're in a pickle, and the smaller branches may already be in a pickle. I mean, look at Kiowa, who has lost one person. And then of course, when they lose Chelsea, that's more hours. We've got enough to scratch by using subs, but we can't rely on subs forever. So,
and just to share with the board right now, I have tonsillitis. Dell has a head cold. Jen is on bed rest. And the only person I have available to work tomorrow can't work tomorrow. I have one sub left that I haven't heard from. So I'm in a conundrum, but it's not because of COVID. It's because of, and I just heard back from the sub right now, can't. So I have, unless I go in sick tomorrow, I have no one to man the library. And it has nothing to do with COVID. It has everything to do with just standard winter illness. So I would just thought I would throw that out there.
That's appreciated. I mean, winter illness, I think, is something to consider as well. But, I mean, we're doing this around the guise of COVID. But, I mean, you could have, folks could have COVID, right? And they could, it's just going to be, what I want to say, more contagious. That's what I'm concerned about, the contagion.
Well, yeah, compromised immune systems.
A lot of the initial symptoms of cold and flu. Two in particular, a sore throat and stopped up ears. That's why I would hope that everybody who is experiencing what they feel is winter illness to get tested and do what they can to be responsible, because if they are showing some symptoms, it turns out that it's mild cold,
even in the heart of it,
you're shedding.
With numbers being up like that.
Caller one, can you please put your phone on mute? We're hearing your conversation. Thank you. You're not on mute. Now you're mute.
Robert, in our situations, we have been tested negative, so we know that we're not carrying COVID at this point. We just have common winter illness.
That's good. I mean, it's not good that you're sick, but
exactly.
What? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so let's take a vote. I'm gonna take a vote based on, let's just talk about in terms of keeping the library opening, what service we're gonna provide. So if we transition, so here's the thing. So the resolution would be mask required for staff. Curbside, go to curbside, give yourself 24 hours to do curbside, to transition and change the signs out in the communication. Let's watch it. Robert and I can watch it. Karen, we can watch it on a daily basis if we need to. If we see that it goes back down, we can call a meeting and come back and, you know, say, you know, we can change that and be responsive to that. But I think what I'd like to do is take a vote and see, or let's somebody, I'm sorry, I'm kind of brain dead today. Can I have somebody make a motion that we go to mask required for staff and that we go to curbside in 24 hours?
I move that we go to a new procedure where masks are required of the employees, that we transition within 24 hours to curbside only, with the board acting as the go-between in terms of the numbers. I do think we should mention a percentage there so that we have something tangible. And I would say, I think the number that sticks out for me is we hovered around 16% before we change anything.
Okay. Do I have a second on that? Karen?
I'll second it. Patty, question.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
As soon as you started elucidating that motion, all the speakers in my overhead room went on. My husband turned on the radio. So would you repeat it all for me again?
Yes. So Robert's motion was that employees go to masking, and that in 24 hours, we move to curbside, and that when we watch the numbers, if we go back to hover around 16% for a period of time, then we could adjust and go back to opening the library. Did I get that right, Robert? That was your motion?
Okay, thank you.
And so the question to you, Karen, is do you want to second that?
Yeah, based on a lot of the input, especially from Laurie, I would agree with that. So I second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
And there are no nays. So, okay. So that approves. That motion is carried. So we'll have masking of employees. And I think Laurie and Reuben and Kathy, you've all got N95s for you, or they're on order, right? So that you'll have them. And then transition in 24 hours to curbside. And that we'll watch the numbers. If they go back down to 16%, then we'll come back together and we'll talk about reopening the library back to the service that we're at the current time. Or if there's some
should
other...
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Should we designate the period of time that we will... I mean, if it's down to 16%, does it need to stay there for a period of time? And if so, how long?
Do you have a thought on that, Robert?
I would say a minimum of 3 or 4 days. If it's trending downwards, I don't know that we have to go a long period of time. We just need to be flexible.
I agree. And then if we, and this is, so we approve that, right? So then I guess the other concern that I have is, I guess we want to be cautious of, you know, taking care of the staff, such as in Kathleen's situation at her library. She doesn't have anybody to man the library. So if we need to close because of illness, I guess we need to call another meeting. And I would ask that the library managers keep us in posted in terms of illness in the by the employees, so that we know if we need to gather again and have another emergency meeting to talk about closing down a library so that people can get better.
Kathy, you're at that point right now, aren't you?
I am. So okay. We will put my, what my plan is I will have Brendan put up a sign, and I will gauge how I feel in the morning. But right now I don't believe I could go in, but you know, sometimes with a good night's rest, things feel different in the morning. And so I will make that final decision in the morning, but I'll have a note on the door that says, sorry for the inconvenience that the library will be closed. And then I'll also have a sign that indicates that we will go curbside starting Wednesday.
Okay.
Kathy, I want you to get well.
I do too.
And one of the things that I want you to consider is that when you are sick, you're more vulnerable to infection. So please don't push it. Take care of yourself.
I appreciate that, Robert. Thank you.
I would agree with Robert. I don't want you to come in if you're feeling bad. Let's put a sign on the door and let's keep yes. you so you can get better and so you don't spread whatever you have to other people, right? Even so if it's just a cold.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. And do you want to just keep us posted, Reuben and Laurie, in terms of your facilities and illness and if we need to do something with them as well?
Yes.
Okay. That works.
Yep.
Okay. And we don't need to have any I don't think we need to have any resolution in terms of closing down the Kathy tomorrow if she's sick, closing down the Simla library.
I do think that we need to watch for the numbers if they sharply increase. If they just are hovering around 25% and then start to go back down, which in all likelihood will happen, let's do that. But if we do have a spike, then I do think we need to call another emergency meeting and discuss our options at that time.
Okay. I agree with you on that. Do we need to put that in a resolution, or we'll just keep that as an open item that we'll just be watching the numbers, and if we have a spike, we'll call another emergency meeting to decide?
Well, if nobody is opposed to that, then I don't think we have to call a measure. Is anybody not okay with that?
Sounds okay. Fair to me.
It's okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So you have the resolution and what we're going to do. Karen, do you need anything else from us?
No.
Okay. Did you get all the people on the call? Did you? I see somebody came in. And...
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, some aren't identified, but it, you know, whatever.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. I didn't know if you saw all of them or I took them down. I can send them to you.
Okay. And I just want to make a comment to the callers that don't identify themselves. It's actually required in the statutes to do that. So it would be great if people could let me know who they were or are. That's it.
Okay. All right. Then, Robert, did you have something else to say?
I was just going to ask, do you need a motion to adjourn?
Yes, I was going to say that.
Okay. I make a motion that we adjourn until either... I make a motion that we adjourn.
No, just a motion. Yes.
And Karen, do you second that?
Yes.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining on such short notice. I mean, you know, numbers are changing, so just bear with us. We just want to try to make sure we keep the staff and, you know, the community healthy the best we can. So appreciate all that you're doing.
Get better, Kathy.
Get better, Kathy, yeah.
Take care.
Much I appreciate that.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.
Bye.